This one's good if it goes.
Oh, it did. Holy goodness.
Cow.
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go.
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
Because you got hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they got it. Jones. Oh,
yes.
Oh, I can't believe it. Are you serious?
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
All right, it's the world's greatest podcast. It is NCAA tournament time, and the hardest working man in show business, the great Seth Greenberg, nice enough to join us. Damn near
what do you mean nice enough to join you? We're a team.
I know, but you're off the set. I mean, you just came straight from.
We're attached at the hip. That's just the way it is. We're attached at the hip. So it's NCAA tournament time. We had championship week. Championship week was absolutely spectacular. You had a championship game that wasn't so spectacular in the American Conference, but the Big 12 was tremendous. The Big 10 was tremendous because you know what? Those two leagues have been tremendous all season long. The games aren't games, they're events. The ACC was anticlimactic, but great for Josh Pastner and the greatest shield in the history of life. The Big East to me was phenomenal. I mean, Patrick Ewing, not only does he no longer need his credential again, but he got into Madison Square Garden and walked away with four games in 4 days. And his team played like an old vintage Georgetown team. Pac-12 stole a bid, which was really cool. Wayne Tinkler, who was on the hot seat, who was so cool. He was a good coach and a good person. And Tad Boyle, who's another great guy, still going to the tournament. So I thought championship week was absolutely spectacular. Your take?
Oh, I thought it was great. Look, I'm going to tell you, Seth, Houston's legit. Had a chance to do two of their games, including the championship game in the AAC. That is a legit team. I was happy that Drake got in. I was happy that 25-4 got in. I thought that was terrific. I love the fact that the Drew brothers are in the tournament. The demolishing of Creighton shocked the living hell out of me. And, Seth, I'm telling you, I like when you lose guys, McClung, Aquino, that kind of thing. And next thing you know, man, what are you doing? You're better the next year. Matt Painter gets himself in the top four seeds after losing two guys, Eastern and Harms. But overall, hey, look, championship week was great. The SEC tournament was off the charts with the championship game and college 100%. Basketball delivers. It delivers every damn night. Let's go to the West. You ready?
Let's do it. All right, so let's do this. Number one seed, obviously, Gonzaga. What games in the upper half of the West are you looking forward to see?
I want to see what Oklahoma can do. 8-9 game. Now, maybe it doesn't matter because you're going to play Gonzaga, but I think this. I think if you're going to play a Lon Kruger team, whether you're Konzo Martin and Missouri, who has struggled, or whether you're Gonzaga, you know you're going to play a very, very good basketball team. And I had them earlier in the year. They can shoot it. They defend it. They play hard. I don't think they're overly talented, and the Reeves kid could go get something done. But Lon Kruger is so good at dictating pace that if I'm sitting there with Gonzaga, I want a lesser coach in my second-round game, assuming that they win. What do you got?
Well, you know, I think Missouri can win that game. The problem is Jeremiah Tillman. He's going to have to go out and guard out on the perimeter because they're playing Brady Maddock at the five, and they run him all over the place. On the other side, though, Brady Maddox got to guard that dude on the block, and that dude has become a good player. Konzo Martin's team, when they're older and more mature and are physical, they are tough in the tournament. Think about what he did at Tennessee. So, you know, this is going to be a really good game because you've got a tough physical team in Missouri. You've got a team that attacks matchups, plays almost four guards in Oklahoma. I'm actually leaning towards Missouri in this matchup.
Well, you're going to be wrong, and that's okay. You can be wrong.
It's okay. I can be wrong. It won't be the first time. Won't be the last time. That's all right. I don't have either of them moving on from there anyway.
All right, but I touched on that, but I also got to say Tony Bennett said that most of his team is in quarantine, Seth. Now, I don't know about you, but that Preston kid that plays at Ohio University, he can go. And all of a sudden, you're talking about a team that, wait a second, I know Virginia's good. I know Virginia came on. I know they ended up with the one seed in the ACC tournament. But, Seth, you're playing against a hot-as-hell Ohio University team, a team led by Jeff Bowles, who, frankly, he's the perfect guy at Ohio U because he loves Ohio U. He played there with the Shaq of the Mac. But when you're playing a team in quarantine, Seth, that tells me they're not practicing. That tells me this is going to be a hell. This will be a good game regardless, because I believe this. When don't underestimate a hot MAC team with a superstar in Preston over the course of time. You know, Ohio University, when Gross was there, he had Armand Bassett, the transfer from Indiana. They got to the Sweet 16, I think they did. So I think that's a of a game.
Well, I agree. And my thing is, they're talking about Virginia getting there on Friday. Well, I thought they had it. Once you arrive, you have to quarantine for a certain number of hours. So how could you get there on Friday and then play a game on Saturday? I don't get that. I don't understand the protocol. But I think if Virginia gets there, I think Virginia's going to win that game. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. They run Preston on all kinds of ball screens. I think that Virginia, one thing they do is they do really step out hard and hedge hard. And they've been pretty good behind that. I've got Virginia advancing in that one. And then you got USC, the winner of Wichita and Drake. Who do you like in that game quickly and then playing USC?
I like Wichita to beat Drake. I think Wichita is pretty good. They're not great. Etienne is a really good player. Their post guy, Udeze, I think is very tough. Drake is a good team, but I don't think Drake's a great team. But I'm going to take USC to win over whoever comes out. And, Seth, frankly, it's based on talent. I mean, let's be honest. Talent wins out most times. The one question I have about USC is shot making. And I'll tell you this, Gilbert and ETN for Wichita State are the kind of guards that win games in the NCAA tournament. They are. Gilbert go by anybody, the UConn right. transfer.
Can he make shots, though? Gilbert to me, he's always been explosive. He's always had a game. His decision-making and shot-making are not
bad.
Great.
Bad, no question. That's why I think USC is going to win. But I'm not going to be shocked here if one of those two goes for 28 and the other goes for 20 and Wichita beats USC. But I think USC will get through that.
USC defense. They've got incredible length. Obviously, they've got Mobley. I think Taj Eady's got to play well. I think that's important. And the Peterson kid's got to play well. Those guys got to make some shots, especially Peterson. He's got to make some shots. But we both have USC advancing in that one. Then you got Kansas and Eastern Washington. And, like, here's my thing, and we won't spend a lot of time on this. We had Bill Self on our show today, and he's hoping that they get going. They still have those two guys that missed the Big 12 tournament, still haven't been cleared. They're hopefully going to be cleared by Thursday. They should be able to get through that opening round game without a hitch as long as they all get in there. They have been practicing with that other group, so that's a positive. And they can play small ball in that game. So I like Kansas to advance there.
I do, too. And I think if McCormick comes back, Kansas has a shot, I think, to get past USC as we move forward. Hey, Dan Dockage here. Before we move on, two things I want to mention. Don't sleep on ESPN's Tournament Challenge. It's time to fill out a bracket. If there were a bracket of my favorite sports traditions, filling out a bracket would be the champion of that bracket. I love taking on my friends and family in the ESPN Tournament Challenge and beating every single one of them. Sign up now for ESPN Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. And this year, you can boost your bracket with ESPN Plus. Use the bracket predictor to analyze each matchup, get recommended picks one game at a time, and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com and check out ESPN's newest podcast, Daily Wager. Daily Wager is a new podcast for all your information on tonight's game. Listen every weekday afternoon for the latest info on the biggest games and plays. That's Daily Wager. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Oregon, I'm disappointed. I thought Oregon might win the Pac-12, but you told me in a private conversation, and when you and I talk privately, usually what stays on the phone, you know, happens on the phone, stays on the phone because it's that important. But you told me that you're still high on Oregon. You don't have a problem with Oregon losing.
I don't. I like the way they play. They change their defenses. They extend their defense. They make you – they basically shorten the clock in their exposure on the defensive end by not really trying to steal the ball out of pressure, but basically slow you down. And then offensively, whether it's Figueroa, whether it's Omarui, who I think is great, whether it's Richardson, they've just got a lot of dudes.
And you know, five double-figure guys. Five guys in double figures.
And Duarte is a guy that can drop you 25. So I've got Oregon in a very good game. And the other problem is VCU turns it over at a high rate. VCU turns it over at 21% of their possessions. Playing against that Oregon team that's going to change defenses, you know, I just like that. And then, you know, you've got Iowa and Grand Canyon. And, again, Grand Canyon, what a great job. Guy gets fired at Vanderbilt. Actually got a bad deal, Bryce Drew. He turns around. Vanderbilt's still trying to win a game. He's back in the NCAA tournament. It's a great story, but Iowa's just better.
The WAC's number one defensive team. You got a big old dude in there, the 7-foot transfer, Mittgard.
Kid from Wichita State.
Yeah, he averaged 14-9. You're going up against Luka Garza. Hey, look, I'll tell you this, Mittgard's never seen anything like he's getting ready to see.
Yeah.
Luka Garza. I mean, numbers
well.
Are great.
I hope he plays well. And you know, Bryce Drew's a great guy, and he's a good coach, and he got a raw deal. So, I mean, always like to see good stuff happen. So, let's just go real quickly. We're going to go through this whole bracket. Zags and the winner of Oklahoma, are we both advancing to Zags on the next game?
Yeah, I am. I just think they're too good.
All right.
Way too good, yeah.
So then you got Creighton potentially in UVA, all right? And you know, that's an interesting game. And I'm buying that even though UVA is sick, something's not right with Creighton. They just – and I understand they won the first few games of the tournament. I understand they were tired. But they just laid down. I mean, that thing was never a contest. Virginia doesn't ever lay down. They might not play well. They might miss shots. I think they have good matchups for Creighton. I think that their ability to guard – in a certain way, own the tempo of the game. I got Virginia winning that game, even coming out of quarantine. How about you?
You know what? You can talk about tired all you want, but I thought, and I just watching today, I thought they looked unathletic compared to a long, athletic Georgetown team.
Georgetown was good, weren't they?
Yeah, Georgetown. Look, I mean, we can talk about Creighton all we want, but Georgetown was long, athletic, and aggressive. I do like Virginia in this. I think Virginia is going to have a tougher time in the opening round game, given what they're going through right now. I will say this. If Virginia gets through Ohio University, they will beat Creighton. If Ohio gets through Virginia, which I think they're going to, Creighton will move on.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm going with Virginia going through. USC, Kansas. I've got the upset. I've got Kansas in the upset. I think.
How's that an upset? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, because USC is such a good team, because we don't know what Kansas is going to be. I mean, they're coming off quarantine. We don't even know who's going to be there. So I'm not going out on a limb. I don't even – they might have five guys. It's not an upset. I misspoke. I've got Kansas winning that game, and I got – because I thought Kansas was really playing well. I thought they improved defensively.
Yeah.
I thought Wilson is developing a role. I thought Marcus Garrett looked the most confident he did. Agbaji was seeing a big basket, really. I mean, that last game he played, I thought he was absolutely terrific. I've got Kansas advancing in that game.
Here's the one thing. The inside defense of – because of the Mobleys of USC is pretty damn good. Yeah, and Kansas is going to have to hit some jump shots in that game. Seth, you know, this is just the way I think. And USC's like Iowa in my world. Now, Iowa's really good this year in their garden, but USC's one of those teams that loses games like this. To Kansas. And really, that's the only reason I'm taking Kansas, because we don't know who's going to be ready. We don't know if Mac
McCullough
is going to be playing. But I am going to take Kansas. Then it's Iowa and Oregon, and I'm going to take Iowa, and I'm going to tell you why. You ready?
Got you.
Against Wisconsin. And this has really happened since, I don't know, you and I spoke to Luka Garza back on this podcast. Seth, Iowa locked them up. I mean, locked up Wisconsin. And I like that going forward. I think Oregon's good. Five guys in double figures, Durante in the whole mix. But I think this is a game Iowa wins. I think Iowa gets to the Sweet 16. I think it's one of those 96-90 type of games. But I think Iowa's defense over the last 2 minutes gets pretty strong and wins that game, even though it's high scoring. That's how I see that one.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. So now we've got Zags and Virginia. And I've got the Zags moving on. They just have too many different ways to score. They played already. The Zags absolutely ran them. Virginia couldn't defend them. Virginia's not the same defensive team. The pace of the game was different. And I understand the art of the upset. I understand owning the tempo and keeping you off the glass and taking you out of transition. I just think that Gonzaga is just too good offensively in that game.
Yeah, I just don't think Gonzaga is going to lose to that team. I don't think – now, if you got Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, and a veteran, maybe. But, no. Kansas and Iowa. Let me ask you a question. Who would you rather play, If you're a Gonzaga, would you rather play a depleted Kansas team or a potentially depleted Kansas team, or would you rather play Virginia? My point is, I think Iowa got a pretty good draw here because Kansas is depleted. Kansas is maybe sort of, maybe almost going to have all their guys back. I don't think this is bad as a 2 seed playing a 3 seed. I think this is about as good a matchup as Iowa could have hoped for to get to the Elite Eight, that matchup. That's what I think.
So you have Iowa moving on.
I do. Yeah, I do. You?
Yeah, that's one of my upsets. I'm going to have Kansas moving on. I'm going, you know what, practice? You're talking about practice? Here's my thing. I think that Dave McCormick's got to play well, stay out of foul trouble, and that's going to be a problem. But I think that Kansas's perimeter guys actually are built to defend Iowa's perimeter guys. Right. And I think they might be able to pressure them enough, and you know ball pressure buys time, and also move them out just a step further. That all of a sudden now those passes that they're a great post passing team. We know Iowa's a great post passing team. They're a little bit longer, a little more difficult. That's one of my upsets. I can't go straight chalk. So
I'm saying
one of my upset.
Hey, if you want to follow the Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage NCAA prediction, just go straight chalk. What the hell? I can't go
straight chalk. Just can't do it. So then you got Kansas against the Zags, and I'm very chalky.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody in this side that can beat the Zags. I just, you know, between three guys on the wooden watch, top 25, and the fact that they're tougher than hell and they don't flinch. We saw it against BYU last week. No, I mean, to me, it's Gonzaga is the first one in the Final Four. Where were they at? Out West. Should be, too. There you go.
Yep. There we go. Well, you know what? We got the West out of the way. And you know what? If people stick around, then we're going to give them information. This will be just one of four podcasts on the NCAA tournament. We're going bracket by bracket. We're going to educate you. And then each week, we're going to reconvene, look at the bracket, and re-educate and help you make money.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.